Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is our Old Testament reading that we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 55. In verse 11 again, Yahweh says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This is our text. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but verse 8 of our Old Testament reading tonight has had so many direct applications over the course of my life, both in good times and in times of difficulty. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And that is never clearer than when you and I see God hanging dead on a cross. Now, if, and I know it's an impossible if, but if I were God, this is not how I would choose to go about it. I know of someone who shared that he once saw a bit of graffiti on a table in the university library where he attended. It was a crude drawing of a crucifix with these words beneath: "Christians worship a criminal executed by the Romans." That artist, if you want to call that person that, was mocking the Christian faith. But he was hardly the first to make such a claim. Deep underground in the catacombs of Rome, there is a similar graffiti type that mocks those who worshipped the crucified Christ in that day. And so from that time in the first century until now, the message of the cross, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, has been foolishness to the world. Why? Because when the world looks at the cross, it only sees defeat. More than defeat, the cross proclaims shame and contempt. After all, the cross was devised not only to subject excruciating pain upon its victims, but also to put them on display. You see, crucifixion typically took place in a public location, often along a busy road, the entrance into or out of, or the exit out of the city, to maximize the number of people who would see it. And so it served as a great deterrent. Don't get out of line, or you'll end up like this guy. It also magnified the indignity of crucifixion. While dying, crowds would pass by and sneer. And Jesus, he endured that kind of abuse. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, even as he was dying, to save the very people who were berating him. And still, to many of us, it makes no sense. God, dead on the cross. God, humiliated and ashamed. God, put on display to be mocked and trampled under the feet of ungrateful sinners. And yet, here at the cross, we see Yahweh's design worked out to perfection. The incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ, dies so that he might return to his Father, having done precisely what he descended to do. That's the wisdom of verses 10 and 11 before us tonight. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Rain. I couldn't have ordered the weather to be better. Rain is not just an accident of nature, though. It is a wonderful gift of God. He sends it for a very clear purpose, to water the earth so that it may yield its increase and feed God's beloved creation. A rainy day might disappoint you because, well, you had grand plans for outdoor activities that are now spoiled. But if that ever happens again, don't be disappointed. Instead, see the rain as a wonderful assurance of God's love for you. He doesn't want you to go hungry. And so he sends the rain. It's a simple fact. God sends the rain and it accomplishes his purpose. And so it is, Yahweh says, with his perfect word. It also accomplishes his purpose. The word succeeds in the very purpose for which God sent it. And the word comes in various forms. First, it's true, this truth is talking about the written word. Now, those in confirmation class, we have a few of you among us here tonight, memorize and then repeat the words of Scripture much of the time, though. Yeah, I see you waving. I'm talking about you. Just listen to what I'm about to say about you, though. You might want to stop waving. Much of the time, they repeat it or write it down on a paper with great consternation and distress. There is no fanfare. They are not excited about it. And yet, the word of the Lord will not return to him empty. It will succeed in the purpose for which God sent it. Even with their complaints, young minds are still formed and filled with the Word of God. Another generation receives the saving faith poured into their lives so that it can then pour forth from their mouths as they confess and confirm Christ's saving name. And so it is also with the spoken word of Yahweh. A pastor speaks the words of absolution to a sanctuary, frankly, often of blank faces, usually as emotionless as a rock. And when the sermon is delivered, I don't see it happening tonight, but when the sermon is delivered, sometimes he might even see some of those faces fighting off sleep. And he might be tempted to wonder if the prophets had this happen to them. And before you think I'm being too harsh with you, I've been in your position and I've nodded off during messages as well. But actually, the prophets faced much worse. When they spoke the word of God, it was common that they were directly rejected. It was not blank stares or drooping eyes, but violence and insults that came back at them. That's why John the Baptizer was beheaded. And Elijah, he complained that Ahab and Jezebel had killed off the prophets of Yahweh and that he was the only one left. But in spite of the violent opposition that the prophets received, the word of Yahweh still did not return to him void, did it? It accomplished the purpose for which it was sent. Yes, God's word will succeed in absolving sin because forgiveness does not depend, you see, on the excitement or even the appreciation of the one who receives it. It always, always, and only is dependent upon the Word of the Lord. And so the spoken word will ground God's faithful souls in the truth, even when they fight sleep. Because even though they are lethargic, the word of Yahweh is not. It is living and it is active. And when his word is rejected, it still succeeds in its purpose, convicting those souls of their sin. And now tonight, on Good Friday, we especially see that the same is true with the incarnate word of Yahweh. John proclaims it in the opening verses of his gospel that the eternal Son of God, who is from eternity the Word of God, takes on flesh. Why? So that he might live here on earth among God's people. And yes, he accomplishes what he was sent here to do. He is perfectly successful, even though the world is blind to his success. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." His success, though, is so complete that he, Jesus, takes the written word into himself as he fulfills every detail of that written word from Genesis chapter 1 through the end of Revelation chapter 22. His fulfillment of the spoken word is perfect as he himself becomes the prophet of prophets. Those prophets that preceded Jesus' earthly ministry spoke by a higher authority, oftentimes saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And now, this incarnate word, Jesus, speaks by the very same authority, but it is his own authority, saying, "Thus I say to you." Sadly, though, this Jesus, who is God of God and very God of very God, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, endured far greater opposition than the prophets who were martyred. Certainly more resistance than today's pastors who might struggle against ears that have grown cold to the Word of God. Still, this Word of Yahweh, our Savior, Jesus Christ, absolutely accomplishes that for which he was sent to do. He was sent to be rejected. He was sent to suffer. He was sent to die. My dear Christian friends, you and I must tonight understand, though, that Jesus' rejection is not just a historical detail back in the first century where the masses of souls stream by the cross and mock him. No. Here on Good Friday, the masses of souls along our streets, along our byways, still go about their way, driving by Christ's cross as his church has placed it on our steeples and above our altars, ignoring him, mocking him, rejecting his authority, just as it happened on that first Friday. But that's not the only place that it happens, is it? Christ is rejected by us as well. You and I see it whenever we fail to seek the Lord, as Isaiah proclaims in verses 6 and 7. "Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Oh, my dear souls, Jesus, the incarnate word, is just as near to us today as he was to those who crucified him. He is ever present for us as God's perfect and inerrant word, both when our ears hear it when it is spoken, and when our eyes see it written on a page. Yes, He is near for us here, and yet we do not always return for more. Eyes remain heavy, ears grow dull, minds become bored, because it is just not what our world says we should want or expect. Oh, we are so tantalized by the world's empty promises telling us that our days must be filled to the brim with excitement, trying to focus our eyes upon whatever glitters and gleams. And so we do not return, though He has called us without abandon. But Yahweh, He never tires of calling you, because He is faithful always to Himself, to His desire, to His purpose. In verse 7, Isaiah calls us all, saying, "Let him return to Yahweh, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Yes, be comforted, dear Christian. Yahweh does not call you to return so that he can exact judgment upon you. No, he calls you back so that he might pardon you in abundance. Because, you know, a little pardon just will not do. Even as great and as wicked as our sin is, our God's pardon pours out like a river that always has far more pardon than we have sin. That's the way the Lord is with you. That's what His Word does. He has written it in His Word. He has proclaimed it in His Word, because He put His pardon into human flesh. That one, Jesus, is why and how Yahweh now pardons all of mankind's sin. But you know, heaps of pardon with unending compassion still does not just happen by accident. It comes at a cost. A cost that must be paid by the Word made flesh. And it all comes together at the cross. Right here on this night so many years ago. Here, the incarnate Word accomplished all for which He was sent. At the cross, the Word succeeds in the Lord's perfect purpose. The cross. That's why Yahweh sent His Word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall My Word be that goes out from My mouth. The rain accomplishes God's reason for sending it, to make the earth bring forth life. Life springs from the ground. So shall the Word of Yahweh bring life from the ground. Again, the Lord promised it. His Word promised it. On the third day, life would spring forth from the ground. And it did. But that Word is just the first fruit. Life will literally explode from the ground when the incarnate Word returns on the last day. And He will accomplish to its fullest all that He is sent to do. He will succeed perfectly in the purpose for which He is sent. To give life and to give it abundantly, eternally. And it's all because of this day where the Word succeeds by the cross. And 40 days after He sprung from the earth, He returned to the Father. celebrating his full success, taking up the throne at the right hand of the Father. Remember, Yahweh does not gauge success as you and I do. He gauges success by pardoning, by covering completely the sins of his people. Jesus, the incarnate Word, has succeeded in that great work as well. And you can be certain of it, absolutely certain of it, friends. His forgiveness pours out upon you in an unending supply. Oh, I know. It may not be the way you or I would have done it. But what we have before us tonight is the height of godly wisdom. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, declares our loving, all-powerful, and saving Lord. This is the cross. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus, tonight and forever. Amen.